Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio X, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio here inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help to build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and Phoenix Business Radio X ambassador, Kendra Maples. On the show today, we have two amazing individuals that have unique roles that they're in right now, but all kind of centered around that coaching atmosphere and background. So we have Daniel Folk, founder and CEO of 100 Life Design. And then we have Darlene Santor, peak performance coach for Performance Meets Purpose. So I read your backgrounds and they're both fulfilling and amazing. And I'm very intrigued and excited to be in the conversation with both of you today. But instead of me reading any snippets that I read, I want to kind of toss it over to you guys to introduce yourself and give everyone a little insight on your background. So Daniel, I'll probably start with you.
Sure. Thank you. So my background is in counseling psychology. And before starting 100 Life Design and getting into all this stuff, I was, for lack of a better word, a counselor, a therapist, and one of those terms that I think always kind of gets blended together. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But to keep it simple for now, I was, like I said, my background's in counseling psychology. I've done some university-level research. I've worked in private practice. And since this is a business radio show, I think it's appropriate to say that despite that being a very interesting experience for me, it just wasn't making the money I wanted. So I thought perhaps the business route might yield some better financial opportunities. So I became a business psychologist for Mercedes-Benz. And I ended up moving to Europe, was living in Germany for a number of years, and was working with dysfunctional sales teams and working a lot around, you know, corporate culture and employee well-being and all that good stuff. And again, very, very interesting and a hell of an opportunity. But I quickly realized that some of the frustrations I had from the days of working in private practice were kind of coming up again in the business world. And it was this feeling of making one step forward and two steps backwards with a lot of the individuals I was working with. And in the business world, that, you know, often looked like working with disenfranchised people or individuals who just, you know, they didn't really care whether or not they were going to do better or their company made more money, because they had nothing really in it for themselves. It was just, look, I've got a comfy 9-to-5 job, and as long as I don't lose that and I get my routine paycheck, like, all is good. And that's fine. I'm not saying anything negative about that. I'm simply saying, as a coach, that is not a very inspiring client to have. However, there were always a couple people in the room who were extremely ambitious, very aspirational. And when you started working with them, you know, you realize really quickly, like, wow, this is powerful. And Darlene, I'm sure you're going to be able to chime in on this, but that is just a totally different experience. And that's when you really start to see breakthroughs happen and progress gets made with the clients that you're working with. And so after experiencing that, a little bit of disenfranchisement with where I was, I decided that I wanted to be able to create that, that really positive, dynamic, working, coaching, mentor-mentee relationship. I wanted to make that accessible to more people. I wanted to make it affordable, and I created 100 Life Design, and that's exactly what we do. It is purely a video-based connection platform that puts clients in touch with a variety of different coaches, from senior business executives to pro athletes, psychologists. We do have some unique thinkers, trendsetters, published authors, all the whole gamut of individuals who you might want to align yourself with for some insight or guidance.
Awesome. I love that. And I already have a couple questions, but I do want to go to Darlene so that she has the chance to introduce herself as well.
Well, I love everything you just shared, because to me, in the world that I work in as well, it's, as I said earlier, it's so great to be around other people who get it. And Daniel's amazing at what he does. But in my world, I started out as an occupational therapist, and I was taking care of traumatic brain injury patients, which I loved. It was just like you or I, going about your day, and then a car accident might happen or something where you're now in the hospital and your whole world is flipped upside down. And so my role as a therapist was to help them cognitively and physically overcome their challenges to create a new normal, having no idea that that would propel me to where I am today. And so I helped them for years. And it wasn't until a few years into my career that I wanted to be able to affect change in healthcare. And so I went back to school for business to run healthcare. And I did that and became president of a healthcare company and ran a few businesses. And it was great. But then in 2008, I was running four companies at the time and helping really with leadership development. So while my title might have been president and a C-level executive at in another part of our business, it really was leadership development, human development. And that comes from my background as a therapist, which was helping people progress to where they wanted to and overcoming mental challenges. Because I saw that many people were limited by their beliefs and what they thought would or would not be capable of. And so I said to them, listen, if I could help someone overcome their odds with a brain injury, you could overcome what you need to. We just have to create a mindset shift, shift the mindset, help you with your belief system. And in 2008, I was so inspired to create something different. And a little sidebar is at 25, I had suffered a stroke and had to overcome that and was left with a blood clot in my brain that what the doctor had said that you could either live or die with this blood clot if it dislodges. So I share that little tidbit because that was definitely fuel to my fire to live life and really get people to live their life. So 2008 is when I started my own practice after having helped in the healthcare world, been an executive in the healthcare world. I said, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to start speaking and coaching and helping people with the skill set that I've been trained in neuroscience and neuropsychology as an occupational therapist. And so that's what I did. And that was in the middle of the recession in the Northeast. And my family thought, you have got to be crazy. So any entrepreneur out there, I just say, do it. Figure out, jump and figure it out along the way, because you would much rather to say, I'm so glad I did than I wished I had. And that since 2008, I've been running my own practice, which is developed and evolved over time. And most people know me as Coach Dar. I don't even think people know Darlene Santoris much. And so I do a lot of keynote speeches and have a coaching practice, and I'll help professional athletes. I've coached the Phoenix Suns over the past 4 years individually and as a team. And I coach a lot of professional athletes with their mindset and helping them reach new levels. And I call my practice Performance Meets Purpose, because when you get so performance metrics driven, that could also hurt you without having a bigger why and a purpose. And with this whole mental health challenge, I help people in leadership and in businesses and in sports with their mental health, with their mental well-being, and also propelling them to new levels. So I coach in business and in sports. And so I'll be an executive coach, a leadership coach, and in sports, they call me the mental edge coach or peak performance coach. But it's all helping people reach their highest level.
I love that. I absolutely love that. So both of you have mentioned a couple of terms that I just want to kind of clarify for everyone that's listening, because we've heard therapy, we've heard consulting, we've heard coaching, we've heard mentoring. What is the difference between all of these words? Or is there a difference? Are they interchangeable? What do you both think about that?
We use them interchangeably, but I think that's not probably stemming from a lack of understanding. The way I see it, there's kind of like three different domains that all of these words fall into. One of them is like the traditional school of thought around mental health and pathology. One of them is really very focused on like business and strategy and that field, if you will. And then there's coaching, which is maybe a bit of a blend of the two and a lot more open to interpretation, but certainly yields, I think, some of the most interesting results. I think Darlene's probably a little bit better equipped to talk about the pathological side of things. I can say that words like consultant, for example, having been one myself for quite some time, that was really the like the stereotypical suit and tie pseudo businessman who, you know, a company calls in, big business says, hey, look, we've got a problem. We need to bring somebody in and we need like a solution now. And so you come in and you learn about all the quote unquote company culture and all the different interpersonal dynamics that are going on in an organization. And you try and bring people together, and it's a very solution focused intervention. You're not really dealing with a lot of the human aspect of what's going on in a particular organization. And you just try and solve it from this like linear kind of black and white approach. To me, that's how I very much see a consultant. And again, this is not to belittle the position, because there are times and scenarios and problems where that is absolutely what needs to get done to unlock a new perspective or to stimulate some sort of growth in an industry. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to an individual level, so, you know, I'm not satisfied with something in my life, me as a person, as an individual, a consultant probably isn't going to be the right person for the job.
And Darlene's shaking her head.
Agree. Yes, I agree 100%. And it really depends on what your needs are. So if I'm getting called into a business, I have a few companies that I consult with. I'm their leadership coach, and I'm helping with leadership development. Mm-hmm. And that's helping them from developing on new levels of their mindset, developing on helping them with just leadership development as a whole. That's very different from when I'm coaching as a mental edge coach or a peak performance coach in sports, helping them with ways that's going to help them increase their performance and also shift a little bit on their limiting beliefs or help them with confidence. It could be leadership development as well. As an occupational therapist, though, the one thing for me is that all of this aligns for me, because occupation is helping people live life to the fullest in whatever their occupation is. Mm-hmm. So whether that's on the court, on the field, in a boardroom, for me, it doesn't matter. And that's, like I said, I had no idea when I started that this would lead me to where I am today, but yet it's the perfect fit, because everything I've been trained for helps me both and in any setting, helping people really reach. But I'm using all the tools that I've been taught throughout the years. And like Daniel said, you use the tools you need based on the scenario that you're in. And that's, it depends on what role you're playing when you're called into a certain position. Mm-hmm. And I think this, the coaching aspect sometimes gets a little bit watered down and could affect things a little bit. So you always have to know, what do you need from a coach? Mm-hmm. What is their background? And making sure that both of your need and what they have as their training matches.
I do want to go back to the two other words, like the therapist and counselor, for a second. Just for a little bit more clarification around what I meant with the pathology aspect of it. Because so psychologists, like if you're seeking the services of a psychologist, right, or a counselor or a therapist, people generally, you know, they're trained to deal with issues like depression or schizophrenia or, you know, severe anxiety, eating disorders, phobias, stuff like this. And when we think of this, it's usually like you have to sit down on the couch and you talk about your dreams and you can't look at the person talking to you. It's like, yeah, all this like old school Freudian imagery comes up. And that's all good and well, and that is valid and all the rest of it. But just to be clear, that is also not at all what coaching is about. Absolutely, coaching requires you to talk a little bit about your feelings, but it's not going to go down the path of dream interpretation or, you know, what happened when you were six and how did that make you feel? It's not that. I mean, you have to talk about yourself a little bit if you want to make any sort of progress, but that should be a given. I think in certain contexts, counseling or seeing a psychologist, there is a bit of a stigma or taboo associated with it. It implies that maybe there's something wrong with you, or you're sick, or you're not as good as everyone else, and so now you got to go and see the doctor. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that still does kind of exist, that stigma, and I think as a society, we are changing our you know, understanding and perception of that, but there's a certain percentage of the population that still applies that negative stigma to coaching as well, and I guess I just wanted to flush that out and clarify that continuing.
No, that's good. And as far as with, you know, both of you in that role of coaching, if there is somebody who is looking for a coach, how would you suggest they go about, you mentioned a couple, Darlene, a couple of things that, you know, make sure you do your research. But if you have someone that's looking for that right coach, what do you suggest as far as the direction that they even go in to find that right coach?
Danny, or that your right, whole business
or that right
is
platform.
Yeah, his platform is amazing, and exactly, he's got a great group. So, but I'll let you start, and then I'll add to it.
So the question is, what is somebody looking? How does somebody go about looking for a right coach to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, your whole platform is based off of that, but it's also online. And you know, Darlene, what you're doing is more face to face. So how do they decide which direction, finding the right coach, the right platform?
Well, in terms of the medium, whether you want face-to-face mm-hmm. or, you know, video-based coaching, that's purely a personal preference. Studies show that the efficacy rate, so its effectiveness, if you will, is equivalent whether you choose to sit down in person or you choose to do it over FaceTime or video. So that's purely a personal preference. I can't argue one way or the other. My platform is obviously all video-based, but that is for, you know, convenience and accessibility for individuals who don't want to drive across town or have busier schedules or whatever. Beyond that, I think most people are excellent candidates for coaching. There's only a few caveats to that, and it's really whether or not you're ready to open up, if you're ready mm-hmm. for it. If you're okay talking about some of your feelings, not going too deep into it, and you're willing to put your ego aside for a little bit with the understanding that it's for your own good. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to sound like somebody's mother when I say that, but it's really kind of true. Like, sometimes our own, you know, we all live in our own worlds. We all have our own perspectives, and that can create a very limited amount of vision, metaphorically, in how we see the world and how we believe others perceive us. And if we're willing to hold the mirror up to ourselves and to put our egos aside a little bit, then we can uncover some, I don't want to say absolute truths, but some truths according to other people. They can ask us hard questions, and they can make us change our own attitudes and perspectives of ourselves and the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And I think, like anything, it becomes a preference. I think if you're looking for a coach to work with, I would get a sense of a few different people and talk to them and get a sense. It's, you want to be able to relate with the person you're going to work with. You want to feel like you're compatible with them. So when you're seeking a coach, meet with a few, talk with a few, ask for a consultation, have a conversation, and then go with the one that one meets your needs. So is it more executive? Is it more mental conditioning? Is it performance? Is it whatever the need is? Find a coach that meets your needs and then get a sense of what they're like. Mm-hmm. You want to enjoy the person you're working with. Coaching is so much fun and it really helps you excel. I mean, obviously I work in the pros and high level executives. They have them and they're at the highest level. So everyone could benefit from a coach.
Yeah.
And the other part of it, it is really a great journey when you get someone that you love working with alongside of you. Because I'll say, where else do you go that you have someone that's 100% focused on you? I'll say to my clients, like, I'm all in when I'm with you. You're 100% of my focus. And we live in a world that's so busy. So where do you get that? And they're like, well, that's great because I'm looking at over everyone else or I'm looking at everyone else's needs. So we come alongside you. We're your co-pilot. We're not the pilot.
There's we talked about this over lunch a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago or something. And a lot of people will say, okay, well, to answer your question, who else is 100% behind your back? A lot of people say, well, I've got my best friend or I've got my partner, my spouse, or my family. And that is all good and well. I think it's just important to note that sometimes love and the people close to us can create some yes. of the biggest biases.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Love is a bias. And, you know, I brought up the mother analogy earlier, and it's kind of the same thing here. We're like, think about growing up or even perhaps now, your parents want the very, very best for you, but mm-hmm. they're giving you their advice, and I'm using air quotes here, mm-hmm. based on their, you know, expectations of what they think is good for you. And so it's coming, their intention and that message is coming from a place of love and compassion, and they might be 100% in your court, but there is a little bit of an agenda there, conscious or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there is that bias. Even if you're in that conversation with them, they are your spouse, they are your mother, they're also dealing with everything else yep. that's in the back of their head. Whereas, Darlene, what you're saying is yeah. when you're with them, you're with them.
And I'm third party.
Yeah.
And the other part, like Danielle said, is with the bias, also when someone has a fear, so their fear may be projected on you when they're giving you advice. So what mm-hmm. they are fearful of, they're going, oh, I don't know if you should do that. Or they're giving advice based on their values, their beliefs, their fears. And so it becomes bias mm-hmm. and it could, they with great intention, but it could hold you back instead yeah. of propelling you forward subconsciously.
Huh. A couple of weeks ago on one of the shows, the term mentor board was brought up. So in terms of mentorship, having multiple mentors that you can reach out for different areas and different advice, is that similar when it comes to coaching?
I'll just say on my part, I have people that I mentor mm-hmm. that are not specifically my clients. I'm mentoring. They've asked me to mentor them on topics. And so we might meet quarterly. They might send me a text and I'll help them along in life. Mm-hmm. And I'm mentoring them. I'm sharing advice as they need it. Whereas coaching, we're specifically working on goals that we're working on achieving. And we have a game plan set. And so it's completely different for me with coaching and mentoring.
Yeah, I think mentoring is, it's kind of like going to see the Oracle every once in a while. Like it's a wise sage of some sort who you can ask a couple of questions and they give you some general direction and some advice. And then it's, you know, you're off to go and do with it what you will. Coaching is a lot more strategic. It's truly a partnership and more of an ongoing relationship than a, mm-hmm. you know, you just go and tap in for a quick tidbit of knowledge every so often.
Mm-hmm. Does that lead to the difference between passive coaching and more of an active coaching? Is that, I've heard those terms thrown out before, but it seems like through the conversation right now, most of what you're doing is very active mm-hmm. with the individual. What would the difference be?
This was something that I think I had submitted a little while ago. So, Darlene, what I meant by that when I brought up that word passive was, remember when I said a lot of people will go like as a way to justify not buying time with a coach or to not really fully committing, they'll just say, hey, I can watch a free YouTube video, or I bought this great self-help book,
yes.
or I check out all the inspirational quotes
gotcha.
On Instagram and that
yes.
gets me jazzed up and I don't need anything else.
Right.
That's what I meant and was defining as passive coaching, where you're... To any astrology aficionados out there, they might be offended by this, but it's kind of the same as like that, right? It's just, it's a general positive affirmation or something that you kind of plug your situation into and are like, oh yeah, that is good. I'll never give up. That's it. But that doesn't take into account your disposition, your insecurities, your limitations, your goals, your drives, your desires. It's just a statement that you can either agree with or not.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree, because passively you're just letting it happen. And active coaching is we are there holding you accountable, coming alongside, making corrections. It's so customized for you with active coaching, and passive coaching is not.
I read some stuff on Instagram this morning. I felt really motivated.
Well, I'm glad you did, but it's only going to get you
more.
So far.
Yeah, right.
I love that. So as far as talking about when you're coaching and you have goals and you're setting, you know, steps to achieve as far as that coaching process, what does that timeline look like? Is it different depending on that person? Or Daniel, with your case, with folks that are doing it with this web platform, you know, is there an ending goal? You have to reach your goal by this deadline.
okay, so the cheesy answer I'm going to give is... It's in control of the user, right? If you want to mm-hmm. hit your goal, it's just about how much work and effort you want to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, some people get very accelerated results because they're working with an excellent coach and they've got that good rapport, but they're also, here's the cheesy part, doing 110%. But it's kind of true. Like, you're only going to get out of it what you put in. So Darlene can probably speak to more of like the structured way in which a coach will work with you in terms of 100 Life Design and the platform. As the organization, we don't have a set curriculum on saying like, hey, after 6 weeks, you're cured, or 12 weeks and you're going to make $1 million. I'm really providing a transparent connection hub between clients and coaches. Each one of those coaches on there is a unique individual and excellent at what they do, but they have their own style and way of working with you. So depending on you, the client, your personality and all your whatever, and who you align with, that's going to be a unique experience.
Gotcha.
I agree. I customize everything to every individual I meet, because someone might need less time and someone might need more time. I have a client that I've been working with for 2 years, because their leadership role keeps evolving, so does our plan keep evolving. And they keep meeting their goals. It's not that they're doing bad. It's just there's so much that keeps evolving, and it's such a great work environment that we keep working on new goals where they're going to be CEO of the company, which
yeah.
is great for them. And then I have clients that we meet once a month, and it might only be for a few months, but I once had an owner of a team come to me and say, I want a 6-point plan on this person and I want you to do it within this time frame. And I said, if someone comes to you and says that and they've never met the human being before that they're going to work with, fire them. Don't even hire them. And that's the thing. There are programs out there that are cookie cutter. And I just want to encourage everyone, you are a unique individual. And so should the plan be unique to you. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are programs that you can do that are in a few weeks. But again, what do you need out of it? And it should be customized to you. That's why I won't lock anyone in for a certain amount of time. I'll say we've got to establish this. And as we grow, you'll know what you need and I'll be able to help you. But I want you to feel that this plan is so specific to you and that you're not just going through the mill of here's 6 weeks and this is what we do and then you'll be done. Mm-hmm. Maybe, maybe not. What if they're done in 3 weeks on something? So I say customizing it to the person is so much more beneficial. And I've got to get to know the person I'm working with and then create the plan for them. No different than when I worked in the hospital. I had to see my patient and then write the treatment plan. Mm-hmm. I have to see my client, talk to them, and then we could write the action plan.
There's also an element here. There's an element of uncertainty that you can't control. So I'm going to kind of put my foot in my mouth here with the 110% thing, because there is an unknown, like in a business context, coaching in a business context, there's obviously, I think there's a little bit more structure in terms of milestones and certain quotas have to be met. And there's more measurability involved mm-hmm. in that. Mm-hmm. But if you look at coaching on like an inter or intrapersonal level, like let's take relationship coaching. Okay. Mm-hmm. I used to work with a lot of young adult males on social interactions, and a topic that came up all the time was dating. A lot of these dudes wanted to find girlfriends. That like you can, how do I put this? You can help them to kind of maybe understand a conversation a little bit better. But if she doesn't like you, it's not going to happen anyways. And so that's an unknown. And having expectations around, I can totally work on bettering myself and mm-hmm. learning different skills and techniques and whatever. That's all good and well, but it's going to take time for the world to, see the changes that you're making. And there's just an element you can't control. So to condense it into 12 weeks, I think that's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys had people before that, had these unrealistic goals and maybe weren't the right person to be coached? Daniel, you were talking earlier about, the right person that is coachable. Mm-hmm. Have you guys been in that situation?
Yeah, we're both.
They're both nodding.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, at least for me, I don't know how, actually don't know how you would handle this, Darlene, but for me, you try and explain, you try and work with setting new expectations and kind of helping them to understand. But I hate to say this, but at some point, like if somebody's just not ready for it, mm-hmm. I don't have magic powers. No coach has superhuman abilities. So if somebody's not ready, they're just not ready. And mm-hmm. In my experience, you've just had to end that coaching relationship.
Yeah.
Agreed. I'm specifically thinking of a client that I had that after working for so long wasn't ready to make the changes necessary mm-hmm. for her to evolve where she wanted to go. And I said, listen, I'm not here about taking money. I want you to get the results you want in your life. So we're going to stop it here. These are the things that I really believe, based on what we were talking about, that will help you mm-hmm. try them. When you try them, then call me. She called me a year later. She said, are you sitting down? I said, I am. She goes, you're not going to believe this. I did the things that you said and we talked about. She's like, and life has been so much better. I was like, I'm so happy. But, I say that it's not boasting on me. It's in that when the person is ready mm-hmm. and they take action, it will happen. And so the person has to be ready. My type of coaching and the style of my coaching is when you're ready to go, I'm ready to come alongside you. If you're not, we're probably not going to work together.
Yeah.
I'm working with the person who's ready to go forward and ready to take their life or their game or whatever it is to the next level. And that comes from a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm. It's a relationship. You have to be ready to, you're joking around about the therapist thing, but it's a relationship. You have to be able to open up and have those conversations and be ready. And some people might not be in that position. Now, you mentioned growth mindset, and that's kind of come up a couple of times. Can you elaborate or kind of tell us a little bit about that and the direction that you go in with your coaching and that growth mindset?
It's so important. A fixed mindset is the person who's like, that will never work. I've already tried that. Why should we do that again? I've done it this way before. That kind of mindset is going to keep you limited in every area of your life. So a growth mindset, I always am encouraging my clients to say, you may have things that have triggered you that you want to say or hesitate or not take action on. I understand it. But what we're moving towards is a growth mindset, which is, what if there is a way and how can I find that way, and solution oriented and willing to be open to try new things. Because when you're open to try new things or find a new way, you'll find the way. But when you're closed minded, it's you're limited. You're in a complete box in something. So growth mindset, I think Carol Dweck, if I'm saying her last name correctly, but she wrote the book Mindset, and she talks a lot about this fixed and growth mindset. It's a great book. And it's just being in that growth mindset allows you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a fixed mindset and you want to stay limited in how things used to be, then you won't go forward. So,
yeah. I don't have much to add to this.
It goes back to exactly what we were just talking about. In that fixed mindset, you're not able to be coached. You're stuck in that way. If you have somebody that is kind of stuck, are there steps and advice that you can give them to get to that growth mindset so that they are a little more coachable?
I think I ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. I'm not one about telling anyone what should happen, but I'll always ask questions to keep trying to open up their mindset to what can be. What if we did it this way? How would life look if you were able to lead at this level? What would it be if you had more confidence to be able to do this? And so you're asking them questions of how it would feel if they could get to that level or accomplish something. And as they start to express their feelings connected to where they want to go, now you've locked in emotion. Now mm-hmm. we can create some momentum versus telling someone what to do already in a fixed mindset. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I think there's also an element here of helping people develop a sense of grit and like extreme perseverance, because success does not happen overnight, and there's going to be a lot of failures. And I think that fear of failure, that fear of embarrassment, is kind of what prevents a lot of us from ever even beginning, or if we try the first time and it doesn't work out, which statistically speaking is very likely,
mm-hmm.
Then we just say, well, I'm a failure, it didn't work. And we don't say this try didn't work. We say, I can't work. And I think there's like this fear of embarrassing ourselves. And I don't know how agreeable anyone else will find this, but for me, I kind of go through life like, if I embarrass myself or if I do something stupid, people will laugh at me for a short time, but then the world just keeps on turning and I'm, you know, soon forgotten. Like, even if I butcher this interview today or say something really stupid, it'll be funny, but it's not going to be funny forever, and people will move on. And my reputation is not tarnished forever. I can try again. I can go on another radio show and do a better job. You know
what
I mean?
It's recorded, Daniel. We have it forever.
I know. But I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so many things that we blow out of proportion
yes.
with, this is going to have terrible, undoable consequences. And that's just not reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like want to just jump in and be like, amen. I mean, because I'm so excited about this, because someone asked me on another interview, what's the difference of people 10 years ago to now? And it's, we have got to allow people to develop this grit mm-hmm. and this resiliency and embrace it. Because when you develop your grit and your resiliency and this level of perseverance, you will succeed far more than others. And if you look at anyone who's made it to the top of anything, they have had many setbacks and many failures, but they chose to get back up and try again. All the famous failures you could Google and look up, they had multiple failures, but they kept trying. And emotionally, we have to develop this grit and this resiliency and know that when you do, it's going to help strengthen you. It's going to give you more courage. And once you feel it, you're like, oh, I know what this feels like, but I also know I'm the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your worst day is, you've already been on the other side of it. So whatever comes again, remind yourself, I already got over that. I'll get over this. And you just keep getting up and going and trying and building that endurance. And the tough times make you stronger. They don't make you weaker. So remember that. It's to propel you, not pull you back.
I think it's important to also add here that we often say, oh, just try again, keep sticking with it. And that this is very, very true. But doing the exact same thing and expecting a different outcome, I think that's like the definition of
insanity.
Insanity. It's about working towards the same goal, but maybe fine tuning or making minor adjustments to your approach.
Well said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned how people are very different today. It kind of goes back to the, you read Instagram, you read Facebook, and now you're motivated and you don't need a coach. People have changed over time. Has coaching and kind of this growth mindset of coaching and leadership changed over time? Or do you think you've both been doing this for a while. How have you seen kind of those changes?
It's definitely changed for me because people are growing up in a different way than they were 10 years ago. So we have to adjust just like businesses have to adjust to the people that we're serving, so does coaching. Their expectations, what they expect, where did they grow up from, just what are their values? Things are totally different than they were 10 years ago. So your coaching needs to adjust to it. And that's why I say this customizing. If I'm coaching someone in their 20s, that's going to be completely different than me coaching someone in their 50s because of how they grew up. What's their belief system? What are their values? Everything is different. And the ones that are younger expect things to happen faster and they want instantly change. And so you have to help them with also developing mental resiliency and endurance. And if you could help them through that, and focus, because think about it. Snapchat and Insta stories is 15 seconds. Now, if you see like four lines on an Insta story, which only means 1 minute, we have so many people like checking out. They're like, this is too long. So marketers and advertisers, when they put stuff out, they have to say, gosh, is a minute of what we want to share too long now? Because someone may not even pay attention to something that's 1 minute. I laugh because I used to write in the hospital that a patient will attend to functional tasks for 1 minute. And that was someone with a brain injury. But now when I work with people, it's like, oh, client will attend to functional tasks for 1 minute. I'm saying that in my head, but I mean, realistically, like I have players that are on the mound with a lot of pressure on them and they've got to focus and everything's going on. And I'll say, hey, when was the last time you stayed at your sink and brushed your teeth completely with that electric toothbrush that goes for 2 minutes and you never walked away from the sink? They're like, what? I always walk away from the sink. I go, exactly, because you can't focus on one thing. Like you're putting your shoe on while you're brushing your teeth or checking your Instagram. Everything is different. So you have to walk into their world and understand what is their mental faculties? What are they used to? Our brain has been changed and our brain has been also brought to this space now where we attend to things shorter. So if we attend to things shorter, our coaching has to adapt a little bit to how we keep attention and how we get people to focus on techniques and try things.
And I think that's probably why, Danny, your platform works so well, because it is web-based, so you can do it anywhere in between these busy schedules and people that travel. You can essentially do that anywhere.
Yeah, but now I'm afraid that there might be more than 1 minute of reading involved. I'm sitting here thinking like, damn, I probably need to go back and check how easy this is to use. No, it should be pretty straightforward. But the other thing to your question around like how some of the changes that I've also seen in coaching has been a huge saturation in the amount of coaches that are now on the market. And one thing, another big thing that I really set out to accomplish with 100 was instilling some sort of sense of quality control. Coaching is very much a self-proclaimed industry in that you could wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what, I'm a life coach now. It's $100 an hour and I'll tell you how to do the X, Y, and Z. There are a couple of educational governing bodies where you can go and get, some licensure, and those are certainly legitimate and respectable institutions. There are others that are less so. And there are plenty of coaches out there who have not had any quote-unquote formalized training. That's not to say that individuals who haven't gone through a certification process are a garbage coach. I think it's difficult for the consumer to know, is this person really going to get results? Is it worth my time and money, or are they just taking a stab at being self-employed and this is their best idea?
Yeah. So is there something in particular that people should look for when they're looking for a right coach? Because both of you have backgrounds. I mean, Darlene, you're licensed and board certified occupational therapist. Daniel, you have a degree in counseling psychology as well. So both of you have some sort of background and experience, obviously, that's led you to this place. But if you are, you know, Joe Schmo on the street saying, okay, Instagram's not working, I got to search for a coach now. What is something that they can look for, or is there something?
I'm a big proponent of the saying, walk the talk. Mm-hmm. And so whether somebody has gone to coaching school or not, I don't think is particularly relevant. You know, this is kind of blunt, but there are a lot of educated idiots out there. Like, just because you go to school and get a degree doesn't mean necessarily anything other than you were good at going to school and getting that degree. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by walk the talk is, if you're looking for a coach to coach you in, say, you know, the world of business, Darlene's a good example here. She has run a number of organizations at a very senior level. She's been responsible for P&L. She's had employees under her. She's had to make decisions and operate successfully under a tremendous amount of pressure. Someone like Darlene, for example, is an excellent example of a coach, whether or not she has gone and done an online coaching certification. She's somebody who has real world experience and has bootstrapped her way to the top. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're looking for, whether it's a relationship coach or a business coach or a motivational coach or whatever, I think the key thing is that this person walks the talk. They themselves have proven success in what it is that they are now going to coach you on.
And just to add to that is, whatever coach you're going to work to, ask for testimonials. See what the work they've done. How many people have you worked with? What are the results? Can I talk to them? Can I see what it's like to work with them? Don't be afraid to find out or to ask for testimonials or talk to the people that they've coached. You know, in my business, my whole business has been word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And that's for a long time, word of mouth, that I'm so grateful for that, but it comes from testimonials of working with people. Mm-hmm. Now I've worked with over 100,000 people. So I'll say, like, go talk to them, get a sense of what it's like, and then ask them for what the results you're looking for. What was it that helped you? And you'll get an idea of that. And so I really value what Daniel just said, because just picking someone blindly, if they don't walk the talk, that's like such a pet peeve of mine, because what he said is anyone could just label themselves a coach, but have they done the work, one, that they need to do? Mm-hmm. Have they done it at the level that you're looking for? If they've never been at the level that you're trying to get to, probably not a good idea. So you want to go and find out what's their experience, who they worked with, and get a sense of the people that they worked with.
Mm-hmm. And I can assume that first interaction is not only for you to get to know that person, but that person to get to know you as the potential coach. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure there's that discovery meeting where you get to kind of have that conversation and both get to decide, right?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So we're having this conversation about coaching, and obviously that leads into kind of creating these great leaders. So I have kind of a question about, you know, those great leaders that maybe need the coaching. I've had great leaders and maybe not so great leaders in the past. But how are there, I guess my question is, when there are those leaders that maybe need the coaching, are there others that you see maybe suggest that somebody needs coaching? Or do you ever have people that are a little apprehensive but then realize, okay, I do need this support? How does that work when there's others that kind of need that support but don't necessarily reach out for it?
So I've had companies where owners or executives have brought me in to coach some of their staff, and it was usually because, one, it could be that they want them to develop as a leader, but mm-hmm. this instance that you're asking about, it leads to an example of they didn't know if they were going to fire a few people or not. Mm. And I said, before you do that, let me come in and we'll set a strategy. Let me meet with them. And my role is, when I come in that capacity, is to increase their emotional intelligence. If I can increase their awareness and emotional intelligence and help get them aware of what it means to level up and what it means to really excel and lead at another level, which means serving others, not self, and I get them to really understand and buy into this because it's the best way to serve, then if they can embrace that, then that's where they start to make the change. And so mm-hmm. this particular company, the people that needed the help and leadership, they all grew because we talked about what it meant. And I I more empowered them to be a servant leader and what that could do as a whole for the business and how it makes life so much more enjoyable. And they all thrived. But then there's some people where they're lacking emotional intelligence. And if they honestly do not want to have the awareness or do not see that they might be the issue, like Daniel said, there's, as a coach, there is nothing else I'm going, you can't make a horse, you can bring a horse water, but you can't make him drink. The same thing with anyone I'm working with. If they're not willing to be aware of maybe the challenges that they're creating at the business, then there's only so much. I mean, we could do 360 reviews. We could do interviews. We could video them. We could show them everything. But at the end of the day, they keep saying it's everyone else's fault. There's not much more I'm going to be able to do at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't have much more to say to that. I mean, it's not to suggest that, you know, some people are just like hopeless or lost causes. It's just from a purely coaching perspective, that person, you know, probably needs to go and do some more introspective thinking before, you know, the coach can help that person proceed. That's not to say that, you know, that that individual is broken or hopeless, but
it's not the right time.
It's just not right for coaching. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned servant leadership a little bit. I have, you know, seen in the leaders that I've had that were amazing, they have that aspect of servant leadership and giving back. So I would say, you know, that's a key to a great leader. But is there anything else that you would kind of note as a great leader from folks that you've coached or just folks that you have maybe worked with others? But is there kind of the key things that you look for in a great leader as you're coaching and working with them?
I think the great leaders that I've got to work with that honestly still inspire me are the ones that were humble with a confidence mix in it. So they're confident, not cocky, and that they know that the skills they have are allow them to take make the bold moves, but they're humble in saying it's we, the team did this, or we, the our organization did this, rather than I, it's all me. So they're we-centered more than me-centered. They have the emotional intelligence, high emotional intelligence, great leaders, because they have awareness of, hey, I've got to maybe check myself on this, or I have awareness of how I'm maybe coming off or how I've just delivered something. They're very aware of how they deliver information so that it's delivered to people the best way. They're willing to take chances because they know the gifts that they have. So that's where that confidence comes from. And you want a leader that's going to be confident so that you believe in following them. And they set the vision. They're great visionaries. Great leaders first are great people. And they set a great vision. And they have everyone come along and they create this family culture that we can do this. And I think about leaders that are coming to mind, everyone has come around saying like, I want to do this with you versus, well, I'm only doing this because I get paid really well and I feel like I have to. I'm walking on eggshells, but I don't even like being here. That's not a good leader. And when I go and speak about leadership, I'll say, let's just start with being a good human being, okay?
Yeah.
Because if you're not, I don't care how many books you read, it's not going to work.
Have you ever met somebody who was like 70 or 80 years old, but they were very young at heart, we might say. They were, you know, acted as if they were substantially younger than their age would suggest. And likewise, I'm sure you guys have met people who they could be, you know, easing into their 30s and they already have senior citizen tendencies. And where I'm going with this is I think an aspect of like really, really great leaders, they might age in years, but they never age in their interest in wanting to stay relevant and up to date with the world. And they, you know, these are people who maybe they're 60 or 70, but they aren't asking their grandkids how to copy and paste and connect to the printer. That's a silly joke, but it's really this like, it's not churning your nose up at younger generations and saying things like, oh, well, I remember when I was your age, we walked uphill to school both ways. And like, it's more about understanding that the world is changing, embracing that change, working with it rather than fighting against it or justifying, you know, how things aren't as good as they used to be. It's a willingness to learn. And I think the moment somebody decides that they just want to, you know, settle into their routine, stay comfy, I'm happy where I'm at, I think that's when the leadership growth ends.
Mm-hmm. There's a great point to that. And I love that so much. Wayne Dyer said we need to be like the bamboo tree, especially as we age, and that the palm tree will bend in the middle of a storm and come back up. It's moldable. It's pliable. And he says our bodies, our minds, and our spirits need to be pliable like the palm tree, mm-hmm. and that we don't get rigid. And so just what you're saying, not to get rigid in your mentality and not to get rigid in your ways, but to stay open and pliable. Oh, it makes for such a better life. I love that. I wrote it down.
I have so many good things that I've been jotting and noting. We have just under 10 minutes, so I want to make sure that we get everything out, that if there's anything else you guys want to talk about or share. I mean, I'm loving the conversation and asking questions, but I want to make sure that we get everything in that you guys want as well. Is there anything else that you guys are wanting to add?
I just want, if you're listening, I just want to encourage you that if there is an area of your life that you want to excel at that you haven't been able to, go ahead and look for a coach that could come alongside and help you with it. It will be the greatest gift you ever give to yourself, mm-hmm. truly. And we only get one shot at this life. So do it really well and give it your all and go ahead and get a coach. I mean, like I said, if the pros have a coach, they're already in the pros. It's honestly 90% mental and 10% physical now, not even 80-20. And so you're already at the highest level, but just think about that metaphor for all of us. So much of it is sometimes just the mental aspect of it. And we just need the encouragement and the right tools and the right plan. So do yourself a favor and find yourself someone that could come alongside you and help you reach that. You will never regret trying that. I promise you that.
No, you're absolutely right. And not to put on like my salesman hat, but this truly is a investment in yourself. And I think when people look at what does it cost to get involved with a coach and to see some change, they might only focus on like the hourly rate, which could be, I don't know, it could be $60 an hour, it could be $100, it could be $1,000 an hour, mm-hmm. depending on who you're dealing with. But if you put that into the grand scheme of things and the grand scheme of your life, it generally boils down to maybe a couple thousand dollars maximum to really see some profound changes and positive impacts in your life. And when you look at it that way, you know, a couple thousand dollars is just being a little bit more responsible on the weekend for, say, 3 months. You know, like don't have quite as many nights out or don't buy like the next gadget that you don't really need. I mean, if you're willing to apply just like 10% more self-control and discipline to your spending habits, you can temporarily redirect some of those funds into something that's going to yield a much greater return in honestly not even that long of a time. And mm-hmm. I think from the investment perspective, you know, you can play the stock market or whatever, but nothing else has the same rate of return that coaching does.
Mm-hmm. But that coaching can help anyone at any level, really. It doesn't have to just be, you know, the high level leadership that you've been doing or the CEOs, really any level.
Any level. Mm-hmm. Because if you ever want to get to your highest level, mm-hmm. you have to start somewhere. So start where you are and grow. Stay in that growth mindset, stay with that growth mentality, and just give it a chance.
Yeah. I love that. So is there anything that you want to say as far as if people are interested in reaching out to the two of you? Do you have any social media handles? I mean, we talked about social media, but or ways that they can reach out to you or anything like that. So, Darlene, if anyone wants to reach you, what would be the best way?
You could find me online at coachdar.com. You can also find me at social media on LinkedIn. It's Darlene Santor, but it's D-A-R-L-E-E-N and then Santor, S-A-N-T-O-R-E. Social media, I do have Instagram and Twitter, and the Instagram is at the Coach Dar. There must have been another Coach Dar. I don't know why. I didn't. But I use social media as pay it forward inspiration. So in this passive sense, I oversee pay it forward for our country too. And it's a great way. When I said I was going to get on social years ago, I said, if I could just maybe share something, write something that will help shift your mindset a little bit that you might use or pay it forward to someone else, then that was the goal. So go on, connect with me there. I respond to everyone that I can as fast as I can, but that's a great way to just interact. And if you're in a business and you're looking for a keynote speaker, I do a lot of keynote speaking. I do leadership, obviously coaching, and I do workshops in businesses as well.
Awesome. I love that. Dana, how about you?
Probably the best way is our website, 100lifedesign.com. That's 100 spelled out, H-U-N-D-R-E-D. I would encourage anybody to go on there and check out the different coaches that we've got, the different, you know, aspects of life that we can work with individuals on. Creating an account is free and all that good stuff. As well as social media, it's just 100 Life Design. As far as me personally, one of my old man tendencies actually is I refuse to have social media myself. You can certainly get in contact with me personally through the 100 website.
Okay. And I just want to endorsement, but really what Daniel's put together is really solid because he vets everyone that he puts on there. And that says a lot because he's not going to just put anyone on his platform. So mm-hmm. It's a great place to go and look.
Thank you.
That is fantastic. Well, thank you to both of you. I absolutely had a blast sitting and chatting with you today. So as far as from the studio, you've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Business Radio Studio. Some media leans left, some leans right, but we lean business. Or as today we talked about, we lean like a palm tree. So until next time, this is Kendra Maples. Thank you for listening.